Douglas Crook, Wednesday, October 19th, 2011.
We are still in the book of Proverbs, and we are using the study book that some of you have. I think there's still some in the entryway if you don't have one and would like to have one. Page 25, we just introduced last week this current heading of control of the tongue, and then the subheading of wise and foolish talk. That begins on page 25. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Proverbs 14 and verse 3. That will be our first one to consider. But before we begin to dig into that, we might be tempted from time to time, especially as we heard so many urgent needs and so many tragedies that individuals are going through. We may be tempted from time to time to ask ourselves, a study like this, especially when we come to such practical subjects as our words and our mouth and our tongue, that kind of study almost seems insignificant in the face of so many people that are suffering and hurting. And wouldn't it be better if we just prayed and fasted until we could just go and lay hands on everybody and there wouldn't be a sick person among us and there wouldn't? Well, if we were voting, I would vote for that, actually. That would be the way that I would like to see things done. But if you stop and think about that, and during Jesus' ministry, Jesus performed some pretty fantastic miracles, didn't he? How many that actually witnessed those miracles actually turned to him? Very few. The disciples, mightily used of God. The Apostle Paul. And yet in Paul's own lifetime, all of Asia forsook him. So miracles in and of themselves is not the answer. We don't stop looking to God for them. We don't stop calling upon him because we want him to be glorified in whatever way he chooses. And there are times when I believe that God uses such great miracles in order to wake people up to their spiritual needs. And if that's what's necessary, I want to be willing to be an instrument to be used in that way, don't you? But also, when maybe you don't spend time thinking about things like this, but I do, especially when I hear such great needs in people's lives, and then I know the study that's coming. And is it really important for us to look at these things? Is it really significant? And what I have found is that the most enduring and lasting and effective testimonies that bring people to Jesus are the lives that are transformed from within, day in and day out, standing as faithful examples in every area of their life. And so, saints, if we truly want to minister to a hurting world, and when we live in a world that's hurting, if we want to minister to that world in an effective way, we need to let this word transform us and change us and prepare us for the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So with that in mind, I'd like to give us a balance as we study. This is a lengthy list of Proverbs, one of the lengthier lists of subjects in the book of Proverbs, which again shows two things: how common it is for all of us to wrestle with this area, and also how important it is to God that we apply his instruction in this area. But we need to be careful to strike a balance between the two extremes of thinking about these words that we say. The one extreme is to be paranoid about every syllable that comes out of our mouth. We can get that way sometimes, especially after lessons like this and Proverbs, maybe for a day or 5 minutes. You know, we're real careful. But we need to be careful not to fall into that trap of just being paranoid about everything that we say. But then the other extreme, of course, is to not care what we say, when we say it, or to whom we say it. And those two extremes lead to the kind of damage and destruction that we see mentioned in these Proverbs. Much of our daily conversation is insignificant. It really is. You stop and think about, especially those that are out in the work world, or if you're in society at all. Much of our conversation is really of no consequence. However, these proverbs do deal with the very general character of our daily conversation. Not every word, not every syllable, not every conversation, but certainly the character of our conversations. What we say and to whom we say them reveals what actually is in our heart. It reveals our spiritual character. And this is what we want to take from these proverbs. We don't want to become paranoid, nor do we want to become careless, but we do want to take these wise instructions to heart. And so with that in mind, we'll begin with Proverbs 14 and verse 3. In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. This first proverb reveals how harmful words can be to ourselves, how much harm, and really the thought, the rod here has to do with God's punishment. How much of God's chastisement we bring upon ourselves because of our own foolish words. Words that are contrary to God. Words that don't agree with God's revelation of himself or his purposes. And those words harm us, first of all, and they bring us unnecessary sorrow and pain. And sometimes that suffering and pain is the loving discipline of our Father. And we thank God for his faithfulness to discipline us, but as we are told in Hebrews, no discipline, even loving discipline, wise discipline, is not pleasant. And so we bring that rod upon ourselves many times when we are foolish. But the wise learn to guard their lips, and their guarded lips will then save them from a lot of trouble. How many times have we heard a young child talk back to their parent? And a loving, patient parent will warn them, you better stop while you're ahead. And the child just doesn't stop. They keep going. Well, their foolish words brings that rod of discipline from the parent. And how often do we ourselves experience the discipline of our Father because we don't know when to stop? The foolish words that come out of some of God's people's mouths, sometimes it just makes you shudder. I think I've told you this before, but my own little brother, who is saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and was one time on fire with the Lord, for the Lord, he made a statement, since he has turned his back on the ways of the Lord, he made a statement that he didn't know whether he was an atheist or an agnostic. And just those foolish words, and of course they were meant to rile me up, and they didn't anger me. It was like, do you not understand the rod of pride that you have spoken with your lips? And God's people say some of the most foolish things, blasphemous things, and it's only a matter of time before they suffer the consequences of the things that they've uttered with their lips because they've allowed their heart to stray from God. The next proverb is found in 15:2. Some of these we'll take fairly rapidly because the subjects are all pretty much tied together here. But Proverbs 15 and verse 2, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Jameson Fawcett Brown has this comment. It says that the tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, the King James Version, in the sensible time and proper place, and with due regard to the character of the hearers. But the mouth of the fool pours out foolishness, and it literally means it babbleth out at random, without choice or digested order, confusedly, copiously, with rapidity, and continuously, like a bubbling fountain. That's how the fool speaks. Our words not only affect us, as we had in the first proverb, but here we see that they can have an impact on the lives of others as well. When our words reflect the will and the ways of God, then our life becomes an example for others to follow. And again, not all will follow, but at least they will have a living example of what it means to be a follower of Christ. And saints, if there was ever a time when the world needs the example of what it means to be a Christian, because the name is being used all over, it's on the news all the time, Christian this, Christian that. And I see very real example of what it means to be a Bible-believing Christian in any sector of the society. We need to be that example. We need to be an example of the believer in every area of our life, including our words, as Paul told Timothy. But if we're foolish with our words, if it just bubbles out anything and everything, if it spills out of our mouth, then we contaminate. That bubbling fountain is a contaminated fountain, and we contaminate those around us. Now, I'm going to gross you out a little bit here, but just so you understand how serious it is, the word that's translated pour out, it can literally refer to a foul-smelling belch, gross and offensive. And that's how sometimes God's people speak. And saints, it shouldn't be that way. We read the Apostle Paul tells us that we are to be a sweet aroma of Christ in every circumstance, in every situation. So we need to be careful what we say, to whom we say it, where we say it. Proverbs 15, verse 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not so. The word disperse gives us the thought of the spreading of seeds. And that's a good way to look at your words. Our words are like seeds. The question that we have to ask ourselves is, do our words, the seeds that we speak, do they bring forth spiritual fruit in the lives of others? Or do they bring forth noxious weeds that will choke out not only our spiritual fruit, but the spiritual fruit of those around us? You ever taken time to think of your words that way? That they do have an impact. They do have a lasting impact that we need to be aware of. And that leads us to the next proverb to tell us where the source of the good seed is. Proverbs 16 and verse 23. Proverbs 16, verse 23. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. So here we find out how we can begin to control our words and our lips, and how we can begin to make a difference. Because, you know, if we just read the Proverbs and understand that, you know, we shouldn't speak foolishly and we should speak wisely, what does that mean? And this is what I love about the Scripture, is that it does give us the path. It teaches us the steps that we need to take. It's not just theory. We are given the steps to begin to practice what it means to enjoy the benefits of speaking wisely. We need to learn how to speak from our heart. Well, that's the next question. How can we have a heart that teaches us the right words? Psalm 119, I think you're probably already headed there, but let's go to Psalm 119, verses 9 to 16. You will never speak words of wisdom that will benefit you and others until you have learned to hide the Word of God in your heart. And that means you have to take time to read it, to search it, to meditate on it, to ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding, and then to ask the Holy Spirit to give you the opportunities and the ability to practice what you've just hid in your heart. But if you don't make those conscious decisions, and if you just go through life, you're going to be like that contaminated babbling fountain that will just say things that won't be good for you, and it won't be good for your hearers. Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. With my whole heart. What is it you want in life more than anything? Young person, old person, middle-aged person? What do you want in life? It must be the will of God. It must be to please him in everything you do and say. And if it is, you will seek the Lord with your whole heart. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments, which we are so prone to do. But Lord, that's not what I want. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have received in the way of your testimonies, and much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So that's how your heart teaches your mouth how to speak. It is when you hide the wisdom of the will and the ways of God in your heart, then your heart can tell you, you know, that's not in accordance with the things that God has revealed to be pleasing to him. That subject, that thing that you are bringing people's attention to, that's not what honors the Lord. This thing does. That thing does. It's revealed in the Word of God. So let your heart, first of all, be treasured. Treasure up the Word of God in your heart, and let that Word teach your lips. This is why studies like this one in the book of Proverbs is so profitable, because we can take time to simply read the Word of God, meditate on it, and he'll tell us what's pleasing to him, what's profitable for us, and what is not. And once God's Word has found that place of abode in our hearts, then it can begin to teach not only our lips, but our feet, our hands. You know, that's not where you want to go. That's not where you want to do, because this is the will of God. This is what pleases him. The next one is found in Proverbs 18, in verses 6 and 7. Proverbs 18, verses 6 and 7. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Once again, we see how self-destructive foolish words are. We often get ourselves in trouble. We often get ourselves in disputes that end up bringing harm to our own lives simply because we didn't keep our mouth shut when we should have. And we bring those blows upon ourselves when we say things where we shouldn't and how we shouldn't. Proverbs 19 and verse 1. Here the emphasis has to do with the honesty of your words. Too often words by both saved and unsaved people are used to deceive others. But it's better is the poor who walks in his integrity than one who is perverse in his lips and is a fool. In other words, it's better to be poor and honest in your words and what you say and your dealings with others than to be rich and foolish, and you've gotten those riches because you've deceived people with your words. There's a reason why it's better to be poor and honest as opposed to rich and dishonest. It's because God rewards with eternal rewards those who honor him. And in this world in which there is so much deceitfulness, so much falseness, we need to stand out so brightly as being different because of our words of honesty, because of our integrity, because of our understanding that our testimony reflects directly on the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 34, let's read this entire psalm where many of these subjects are talked on, but the reason why it's better is because those who honor the Lord in this area, any area of obedience, but those who fear the Lord are blessed of the Lord now and for eternity. Those that are rich because they are fast talkers or because they can deceive people or they know how to manipulate the system, sooner or later, though they may enjoy their riches all their life, sooner or later, those riches are going to vanish. But those who are rich in the will of God, they will be eternally rich. And this is the subject of Psalm 34. Verse 1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. You can't buy that. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him, and delivers him. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Again, you can't buy those assurances anywhere else. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Now notice what's being said. He says, okay, these are the blessings of those who fear the Lord. Now come and I'll tell you what it means to fear the Lord. This is what he's saying. In verse 13, he touches on this very theme that we're on in Proverbs. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears, and delivers them out of all of their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all of his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. Saints, I want to fear the Lord. I want a life that is an example of one who stands in awe of who God is and what God has done for us by his grace. And a part of that fearing the Lord is letting him control and govern my words in my everyday life. Proverbs 23, verses 15 and 16. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself, yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. This is the motive for wanting your words to be right. This is the motive that we must have if we are truly going to be wise in our words and in our speech. It's not simply to have all the blessings that we've already been promised in the scriptures that we've read. That is a benefit of it, and that is a good reason to speak right. But ultimately, it has to be, as Lord, I want to please you. And to think that we can cause the heart of the Almighty God to rejoice by how we speak. Now, of course, the opposite of that is true. We grieve the heart of our Father when we speak foolishly with words of foolishness that contradict the will and the purpose of God. Psalm 19 is the psalm that most accurately describes this particular aspect of the truth in this proverb. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 14. Do you want to please God? Then you need to take note of your words. We've already dealt with the area of anger, and of course, words spoken in anger would certainly fall under this category as well. Sometimes we say things in the heat and the passion of anger that we say, well, that was just the anger speaking. Well, we got to quit making excuses for ourselves. In any time, in any moment, we need to allow a heart that's filled with the Word of God to teach our lips how to speak. We need to let our heart, filled with the Word of God, teach our lips how to speak when we're angry. And it matters to God. It pleases our Heavenly Father when we speak wisely, even in times of great emotion. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You say, Brother Doug, I just can't get the victory in this area. Well, you're simple, and so am I. But the word will make wise the simple, if we'll simply accept it. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Do you believe that? Again, this is a familiar psalm. These words aren't new to us. Do you believe that every one of God's judgments, every one of these proverbs and these verses that we're reading, do you believe that what God says about them is really true? Do you think he judged right on that? The judgments of the Lord are true and they are righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. And in keeping them there is great reward. The reward starts now, but ultimately it's in eternity. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Saints, that's my prayer for me. I hope that's your prayer for you as well, because it pleases our Father when we speak right, when we say things that are in accordance with who he is and what he has revealed to be his purpose. I think we'll close there this evening, and we'll just let the Holy Spirit set that in our hearts and minds. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed.